You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Halleck, the host of the Man Warrior King podcast, coming at you here. And it has been quite a doozy of a year. I'm excited to be back with you broadcasting here. And before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to encourage you to grab a copy of The DNA of a Man if you haven't yet done so. This book is changing men's lives, particularly married men who find that they have long ago lost themselves. They've kind of lost their identity. They've lost their way in marriage, and they need to get it back. So make sure you grab a copy of that. You can get it at manwarriorking.com/DNA. All right. Today's podcast episode, I am going to play for you the message that I gave just this past weekend at my church's men's breakfast. It's a potent and powerful message in a short amount of time that encompasses pretty much the foundational truths that we are about at the Man Warrior King movement. So before I play that for you, I just want to pray for you. Jesus, I pray for this man here who is listening to this podcast episode right now. I pray that you would fill him with fire and with conviction to be the man that you've called him to be. And I pray, God, that you would give him a new perspective, a new grit and determination to not take what has been handed to him by life, but to stand up and push back against darkness and to keep on going forward, bringing your kingdom into every area of his life. Amen. All right, my brother, enjoy the episode. Mark just prayed, but I always feel like I need to pray just to orient myself before I share something. So, Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for how much you have already done for us, Lord. And I thank you for how much you have made available to us. I thank you that we do not have to live as victims. I thank you that we get to live as more than conquerors. And I thank you, God, that we don't have to just take every little thing that comes lying down. But you've called us to be men, to stand and to fight. Teach us how to stand and fight and yet still be submitted to our King.
Right.
Amen.
Message right there.
All right, off to
all right.
All right. No, I mean, that was really good.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, how am I going to follow that up? As I've been praying about this morning,
God brought a few different things to mind, one of which is like kind of my bread and butter. And I'm like, God, am I just bringing that to my own mind because I always go there? But I don't think so. And along the lines of what I just prayed, I feel like the message this morning that's burning in me is kind of about the art of being disagreeable, which is not necessarily a thing that in the church we tend to talk about too much, being disagreeable. If anything, we often find ourselves trying to be very agreeable. We find ourselves working to, you know, be polite, to take whatever may come and just kind of roll with the punches and stuff. And I believe that those qualities are good to an extent, but I also believe that rolling with the punches mentality can sometimes rob us of actually living in God's will. So for me, some of you know my story, some of you don't. I only have, you know, 10 minutes, so I'm really trying to be mindful of that. But I started battling a major health issue 14, 15 years ago. And it was during my engagement year when it started, so my wife and I have never been married with me healthy. So I started battling this health thing that started as arthritis in one joint, and it spread to my whole body over the years. That's a very accelerated version of the story. I've seen 20, 30 doctors worldwide, literally traveled to Switzerland, traveled to Nevada, to Kansas, to, you know, wherever. We've seen doctors in Connecticut. And I grew up in your standard Bible-believing church, but not very Holy Spirit-y. And so there was this mentality, this mindset of, oh yeah, God can heal you if he wants to, if it's his will. And if it doesn't happen, then it is by definition God's will that you not be healed. And while that may suck for you, there's something behind the scenes. There's some higher purpose that we just can't see. And I will tell you, from the position of somebody who is bedridden with a toddler, as a 20-something-year-old man whose wife thinks he's going to die, that mentality doesn't work. Yeah. It does not hold water. I was not only plummeting in my body, I was plummeting in my spirit, in my mentality, depressed, discouraged. I was looking to my wife to fill me, which brought a whole mess of disease to our marriage. And this idea that, oh, I just have to submit to God's will, can be toxic and it can lead to death. Because what I learned in my bedridden state, I was in bed with my laptop on my lap, and I looked at Bible Gateway and I searched everything I could find about sickness and healing. Every single verse I could find. And I was like, I need to know once and for all what I believe, not what I believe because of what I've inherited from my church culture. And as I looked through the scriptures, I found Jesus promising, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome it. Sure, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. But I didn't see sickness in those verses. I saw verses that said that the Lord has forgiven all my iniquity and healed all my diseases. I saw Isaiah that said that Jesus bore my pains and carried my sicknesses. And I saw this thing that's here in my body is not God's will. And sometimes we allow our circumstances to tell us what his will is, even though his word has told us something completely different. And so I decided to be disagreeable. I decided to not agree with my life circumstances. I decided to not take it lying down. I decided to not take no for an answer. And I think there's a difference between not taking no for an answer from life and not taking no for an answer from God. Of course, I want to, if he says, tells me no, I'm not advocating, you know, to buck the system. Although Moses did. Something to think about. God told Moses no, and Moses said, hold on a second, that's not okay with me. So, and God listened. So there might be some room there to push back against God at times. But I know there's always room to push back at life.
Yeah.
And too many times we Christians are constantly just enduring. Things are hard and they suck, but thankfully I'm going to die and go to heaven. So as I learned what God said about my sickness, I changed what I believed. Now, I'll tell you, to this day, as many of you know, I still deal with this in a real way. Like, it's very limiting at times. But what happened is I began to pray for other people. I said, okay, Satan, I'm not going to take this from you anymore. I don't know yet how to get this out of my body, but I'll be darned if I'm going to settle for it in anybody else's body. And that's when I began the journey of praying for healing with people who I both know and don't know. Strangers, friends, believers, non-believers. I started incorporating into my tutoring business praying for my students to be healed when they had injuries or sicknesses. And I started seeing miracles in public libraries and coffee shops and things. And it's not because I have a healing anointing. It's because I just decided that I wasn't going to stand for it anymore. And so people have said, oh man, you have such a great gift of healing. And I tell them every time, no, I don't. I've just been through something that has made me believe for more.
Right.
It's available to every one of us. And too many times we make a virtue out of playing the nice guy. Out of just going with the flow. In Judges, chapter 6, verse 12, this is my bread and butter go-to that I was like, God, I feel like I'm just relying on a crutch with this. And he's like, no, let's go for it. So Gideon is hiding from his enemies. The people of Midian came. They had overrun Israel. He is threshing wheat, which is supposed to be done in a high place, exposed to the wind, so that the wind can come and blow chaff away while the wheat falls and you gather the wheat. He was threshing wheat in a wine press, which was typically more sheltered, covered, hidden, safe. So he was hiding. He was living in weakness. He was afraid. There's evidence later in the chapter to prove that Gideon was fearful. He was kind of not standing up against the things that were against the will of God. And he was just kind of in fear trying to muddle through. And before he did anything that was worthy of this label in chapter 6, verse 12... Actually, in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which belonged to Joash, while Joash's son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon had done nothing to earn that title. So sometimes when you hear of somebody or you watch a movie with, like, the kind of man that you want to be when you grow up, you know, like, he's kicking butt and taking names and the woman is falling all over him. You're like, man, that's not me. I wish I was that guy. And I feel like we all could probably point to different aspects of our life. Maybe for you guys, it's not physical disease or something like that, but we could all point to different aspects of our lives where we feel stuck in a thing. We feel like I was just wired a certain way that I don't like. I wish I was more confident. I wish I was more bold. I wish I had courage to actually go out and do something that, like, I could be proud of in some way or another. Maybe it's in business. Maybe it's with a marriage. Maybe it's with raising kids. Maybe it's just with your own inner stuff. I deal with depression. I just can't kick it. And sometimes we begin to take that on. We begin to take it on as our identity, and we say, this is just the way I am. We take no for an answer from life. We just start to accept it. We accept as this is just how I am. This is the way that, this is the path that God is taking me on. And I just have to put my head down and muddle through and bear it until I die. And so we look at other people and we think, man, I wish I was kind of like that. And we wonder, how do I get there? How do I all of a sudden become a confident man? How do I all of a sudden find progress forward in places where I've been stuck for 30 years? I think it's this. Before Gideon earned this title, God spoke his identity over him. You, Gideon, are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon didn't do a thing. And so, after Gideon has this encounter with the Lord, and Gideon is resistant, he's like, dude, I am the least of my father's house. I am not worthy. I can't be who you say I am. God pushes on it. He says, no, you are. So go, be disagreeable, and take down the idol in your house. Go resist your family. Go make enemies. Quit trying to be nice to everybody all the time. Instead, get your vision on the identity that I've called you into and go for that regardless of what flack you take. Who cares if people don't like you? You should want me to like you. I believe that, see, in my life, when I was just coming out of that bedridden state and my life was a wreck, one of the central pieces of my transformation was agreeing with God's truth even before I saw it manifest. Mm-hmm. And that's not just physical healing. I mean, I'm still working on that one. But that was how I felt about myself as a husband. That was how I felt about myself just as a man. Because of my disease, I was living under my mom's roof, her taking care of our finances and bills. We didn't even pay her rent. With a toddler and a wife, feeling like I was just a loser. And I started just forcing myself to wake up, go for a walk, and to say, God, I thank you that I'm a man of power. Thank you that I'm a man of authority. I thank you, despite all of our nice holy Christianese teachings, that I'm actually a man who is worthy. I'm not some just wretched sinner anymore because Jesus changed me and made me a saint.
Yeah.
Therefore, I don't just have to take what comes at me because somehow I deserve it anyway. No, I'm a son who has authority and power in the kingdom, and I administer God's heart and his will into every aspect of my life. But sometimes when I get discouraged and full of self-pity and down, it's just me being lazy and not going to battle to fight to hold on to my identity so that I can actually wrestle my circumstances until they match with his heart. So the battle that I fought to begin winning was not, okay, well, I need to go out and learn how to make money while I'm sick, or I need to go out and find a better way to find healing so that I can get my life in order. The battle that I fought was up here.
That's right.
And it was every morning, Jesus, in spite of the fact that I feel X, Y, and Z, and it feels like I'm lying to you right now, I thank you that I have victory over this. I thank you that I am a force to be reckoned with in the earth, and anything that tries to touch me is going to be sorry because I have the Father of heaven in my corner. I thank you that in spite of the strife and struggle and tension in my marriage, that I'm a good husband because you've given me a spirit of love. And I thank you, Jesus, that in spite of the fact that I feel like I need so much more from my wife than what she was giving me at the time, that I need nothing from her because I am complete in you, and therefore I can wake up in the morning with the intent of pouring out rather than seeking what I can get.
Right.
And as I began to agree with the truth of God's word, I said, well, my circumstances are lying. And so I have to be disagreeable. And I began to be on mission to see this thing manifest in my life. And it didn't matter who agreed with me, whose toes I stepped on, who wanted to say, hey, you know, this isn't right. God, like, what if God just has you being sick? I don't receive that. Because I believe, as we all do, that God's word is the ultimate authority. Not my failures, not my experience, not my circumstances, not the number of years that I've worked to try to find victory and still haven't yet. His word is the authority. And so once Gideon had his identity spoken over him, he began to take steps to buck the system. He began to take steps to push back. He began to not be the nice guy anymore, but he was the guy who was disagreeable. And he worked victory for his people. I would just encourage us to examine these places in ourselves where what have I been embracing as just my lot when maybe it's not God's heart at all? And I'm assuming we all here are able to tell the difference between, you know, something that is God's heart. Okay, I'm embracing that and it might be difficult, but I'm going to submit because he's called me to this. And that's one thing. But where are the things where our lives don't reflect his kingdom, they don't reflect his heart, that we have started to accidentally say, this is God's will for me? And the battle, I believe, starts with training our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because then we can actually start to believe that we can do something worthwhile.
Yeah.
That we don't just have to hang on and hope God does it all, because he's already done so much. And he says, now you go. Now you go heal the sick. Now you go raise the dead. Now you go and be my ambassadors of reconciliation. See, I think we have room to rise up and be a force to be reckoned with as men in the church.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'm over time. Jesus, thank you. Bless you. I pray that you would instill strength, purpose, mission, vision, destiny, a grit that doesn't take life lying down. Teach us how to be somewhat barbaric. And teach us, Lord, how to engage with you in an honest way, even to resist in a way that brings intimacy with you, Lord. like Moses, where we wrestle things out together, and at the end of it, we're closer than we were before, like Jacob. Because ultimately, God, you are our king. We submit to you in all things.
Yeah.
But you've also given us a fighting spirit, Lord. We love you, Jesus. I love you so much. And it's all about you. It's all for you. It's all to you and through you. You have done so much. Teach us to honor your blood. Teach us to honor the cross and the empty tomb, Lord. Teach us to know what is ours because of the immense work you have done.
Right.
And help us to care for this place this morning, Jesus, to bring your order and your vision to this physical building and ground.
Yeah.
Amen. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.